It's 8:15. Now, 8:15 on a Wednesday, we have a little chat about Dictionary of Sydney. I've got Nicole Karma with me. Very good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Now, we are talking, and I kind of like this because you're backing it onto an exhibition we're seeing at Museum of Sydney. Modernist architecture.
Yes, because I was thinking it's very topical at the moment, isn't it? We're talking about our heritage and our built environment a lot lately. It's been featured in the news. You would have seen the Sirius building, the brutalist kind of building that was kind of informed by modernist sensibility. So it's a really interesting topic.
And saved a little bit. We had a chat with one of the big campaigners. I didn't realize Rosso, as in Tim Ross, is a huge campaigner around it. So we chatted to him the other week about how happy he is to see it up and running.
Yep. And it's in the news. And so it's a great kind of timing for this exhibition at Museum of Sydney. Mm. It's called The Moderns, European Designers in Sydney. And I think I didn't realise this, but from about the 1930s to the 1960s, there was kind of like a group of European architects and designers who decided to move to Australia and bring those kind of real modernist ideas with them, which is fantastic.
Very deliberately, like Australia could use our talents.
Yeah, and I think it probably was also a natural time for migration, obviously, from Europe. It saw war in the late 1930s, early 1940s. And so Harry Seidler's probably one of the most famous of our architects, and I thought he's a logical person to look at, obviously, behind buildings like the Australia Square, MLC Centre, Rose Seidler House, and so many more.
Yeah.
But the Dictionary of Sydney also has information about Eva Burick.
Eva Burick.
So it's really interesting figure from our past, and I feel like maybe a bit forgotten. But
well, I've certainly never heard the name.
So Eva was actually born in Nuremberg in Germany. She was born Eva Bernard, and that was in 1915. She was the daughter of Jewish parents who actually supported her career in architecture, her career and her training.
Wow.
Which I don't know how rare that would have been at the time, but certainly, you know.
I would have said reasonably.
And she met Hugh Burick, and he was also an architect, and they met at a university in Munich, and they moved to Berlin. But of course, there were troubles in Europe, brewing with the Nazi Party. Obvious person being Hitler, being Chancellor from 1933. But they also moved to Switzerland and then to England, and then it was really, about the late 1930s that they decided war was coming and we just need to go somewhere completely different. And so they moved to Australia.
Wow.
And so in Sydney, Eva actually worked as a draftsperson in the early 1940s and also as a freelance designer in partnership with Hugh, her husband. And according to Hugh, Eva actually gave up architectural design because of the poor pay that she received compared to her male counterparts.
Wow, that's changed so much. No,
exactly.
World, yeah.
And you just got to wonder, what sort of talents did we lose because of that?
A very great deal.
We don't know. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
So she actually gave up that career and became a prominent writer, editor, and architectural commentator. So didn't leave that world entirely, but she wrote for the Sydney Morning Herald, the Australian Women's Weekly, the House and Garden, and many more. And she also wrote a book. And so that was from about the 1950s until she died in 1976.
Wow.
So really, really interesting lady. And she was probably the first woman to write about such issues like architecture, design, modernism, and things like that in a major Australian newspaper. Really great achievements.
It's an incredible achievement, actually.
But the other thing is the Burick's house in Castle Crag. It was actually kind of designed and built between 1968 and 1972, and it's considered one of the most iconic and most beautiful examples of modernist design in Australia, and it was their family home.
Wow. Now, where's Castle Crag?
Well, it's on the north side. It's north.
It's north. Can you see the house?
I think it's still privately owned, I believe, within the family.
Oh, okay, that's lovely in that case.
Yeah.
That's
and
fine.
It's a beautiful area, Castle Crag. It's just so kind of, it's got a lot of forest and all that kind of stuff. A really fascinating suburb, also in the Dictionary of Sydney, which you can find about at dictionarysydney.org.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Nicole Karma, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll do more Dictionary of Sydney this time next week.